Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I am your host, your coach, your teacher, Dave Sullivan. Sitting next to me is John DeLaurier from Peach State Roofing, running a little late, outselling roofs. What's going on there, John? How's business?
February is turning out to be great. We had a lead from Directory today, and the guy thought he was starstruck. It was very funny and very kind of uncomfortable for me because I was like, how do you know all this stuff? And he's like, I've watched all your videos. I'm like, which videos? And he told me all the videos he's watched. So apparently They Ask You Answer does work. Directory does help contractors. It was a very fun experience. I was training Clay, our new Savannah area owner, and he was like, you had to have planted that lead. I was like, nope. I didn't. Yeah,
it's your brother.
It was just one of those meetings that was very fun. On paper, you know, it was a manufactured home. So, you know, not the best leads for us, but I mean, phenomenal customer, well-educated, understood the roof systems that we installed because of the content that we put out. It was just really fun. That's what we've been doing today. And we just had some other appointments as well. So that's why I'm late.
Wow. Did you close the deal?
Yep.
All right. Well, I should hope.
Oh, we're also the highest price too. We're also the highest price.
Good, good, good. All right. I like it. Well, today we've got a great show because we are going to pick up where we left off last week with our three-legged stool, because we all know we have to sell work, we have to do work, and we have to keep score. And those are the three legs of our stool that we talk about in our coaching. And this is what business is all about. You've got those three legs of the stool. Your stool has to be strong and in balance. And each one of those legs is just as important as the other. And we talked about sales. We sold all this work last week. We talked about our sales process, what John has got going, his tweaks that he's done to his ProLine presentation, which was pretty awesome. You're going to want to check that out. I'll put the link in this week's show too, but or just go to theroofershow.com. I've got it there. You want to check this out. You want to download this and see what a good, professional, organized proposal looks like. And it will take you step by step through his process. And it is great. I'll tell you, it's pretty impressive there, John. Is it working out for you?
It is working out. We're always trying to improve. I learned something yesterday. Somebody posted in the group about the grandma test. And I may be butchering this, but essentially you need to have a business that your grandma would understand what you do, how you do it, the processes. And on top of that, I'm adding, it would be so easy for your grandma to sign your contract, to see your roof reports, like take away as many barriers as possible so that anyone can interact with your business and not get confused.
Einstein said a similar quote, something about, if you can't explain it very clearly, very easily, you don't understand it. Something like that. I'm sure I butchered that one too, but that's the point, is you keep it simple where people can understand and they don't want to hear a bunch of, you know, industry jargon, all this garbage, all the technical aspects of the shingles and this and that. You just lose them, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Keep it simple, focused, and what they care about. You know, don't go talking about you You know, this is where we don't want to use, you know, us, me, talking about your company all the time, because nobody gives a squat. And I mean, you know, it's all about them, with them, what's in it for me. And this is what you have to speak to. But we went through that last week, and I thought we really covered that well, because nothing happens until somebody sells something. But now we've got a sold job. Now we've got to go do it. And here is the key. Okay, this is very important. But before I answer that, I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, and that is Ruby. Last week, we talked about the first thing that you do in your sales process is you have to answer the phone. Have to answer the phone with a live person. And that's what Ruby does. Ruby will pick up your phone quickly. They will answer it with a friendly, professional voice. They can pre-qualify all of these leads. Make sure this is in your zone, in your ideal customer area that you want to go out and see. They're great at doing this. We have a script that they read, that they ask the questions. Make sure that these people are in the right place, that we have the services that they want. And they just take that off your plate. Frees you up to do the things that you should be doing, which is getting out there, selling roofs, being in front of customers, and running your business. So you want to check out Ruby and go to get.ruby.com/theroofercoach. They've got a number of programs. They've got a starter program. It's very inexpensive, but it's going to take away that whole chuck at a truck. Yes, it's the sound of your business if you're rolling these calls over into voicemail, because they're not going to leave a message. So check out Ruby. Take a look. A lot of our contractors use them, love them. We do too. So go to getruby.com/theroofercoach. I just want to take a minute to thank our sponsor, and that is SMA Support. These guys are great. They provide a fantastic service that so many contractors need. We're talking about giving you an inside salesperson to prep estimates, follow up with customers, and even help manage your schedule, all without the headache of hiring and training. We're filling the operations gap to ensure that jobs are scheduled and permits are pulled, and walk your customer through that 5-star experience and even get that 5-star review. SMA Support handles all the behind the scenes work so you can focus on what you do best. Imagine your roofing business with no more dropped balls and don't have tasks falling through the cracks. So check out SMA Support at smasupport.us. And tell them Dave sent you. Okay. The money is made in the sale. Production's job is to protect that profit and not be bleeding profits out from having to go to the lumber yard, not having the right materials, roofing the wrong house, all of these things, you know? That's what it is about, because you can sell the job for a ton of money, but if production can't get it on profitably, you just lost all the dough. And generally I can come into a company and look at their process, look at their production process, and there's an area that you can squeeze out another 3, 4, 5 points of gross profit on the job. That's some serious money when you get that down. Also, your customer is going to be happy. You get that customer experience down. What do you think, John?
100%. So I've said it a bunch because I copy you all the time. Hey. You got to protect your profit in the production. So you've done your sale. You're in production. The handoff better be awesome. The sales team better have documented extremely well, measured correctly, so that production can proceed and continue that in residential space, excellent customer experience. So if you're going to give a 5-star experience, this is where a homeowner is nervous. They may know, like, and trust you and have chosen you to do their roof, but now they're going to be exchanging that money. And so they're nervous that the job's going to be scheduled wrong. They're going to, you know, rain's going to get in their house. It's their grandmother's roses are going to get destroyed. Their landscape lights are going to get crushed. All those things are how you protect your profit. And communication is at the forefront of all that. So as you're ordering material, hey, why don't you send out a text message? We do it automatically. We do it automated. Kathleen has it automated. When you're scheduling the crew, hey, just let you know we're scheduling the crew. The tentative date is next Thursday, the whatever date. We'll arrive around sunrise and be gone before sunset, weather permitting. Continue to communicate more and more and more with more frequency as that date approaches, because weather changes, production changes, you run into problems on previous jobs. This is all part of that customer experience. They're nervous that they want to snap their fingers and have this roof replaced, but you have to make it feel like a good experience. This is about the emotional side of things after the sale. So you have to work on that customer experience side, but you also do have to have systems in place, checklist in place to make sure the production goes smoothly. Like I said before, the measurements better be right. You better have ordered the correct amount of material so you're not going back to the supply house for some reason. You need to anticipate as many potential issues on each roof as you can so that you're not having to go get that one piece of siding. I know that sometimes it's unavoidable. Accidents can happen and things can break, but in most situations, you can avoid that. And that's how you maintain the profit. You also protect your time. If it's your sales rep who is taking the job cradle to grave, you're protecting their time so they can actually focus on sales activities, hanging door hangers. If you door knock, going to door knock, talking to neighbors, inspecting neighbors' roofs, setting up postcard campaigns, whatever the case may be, you want your sales reps to be focusing on sales things, not going to the Home Depot and getting a box of nails. So
hey, let me, there's some great stuff in there. A lot of points that I want to just kind of jump back on because you know how I forget things. And then we can get back into this process. But a few things you said about, one is the customer is nervous, okay, when you're coming out to do the job. And this is important to realize when you're in the sales process. You know, it's not like buying a new car, okay? You know, you're going out there and you're all excited and so forth. This is not what it's about. So talking about how great the shingles are, how great we are, how great I am, God's gift to roofing, all of these things, okay? They don't care. What they care about is removing their fears, okay? Because they're thinking of all the things that can go wrong and screw up, and they're nervous. And you're exactly right. By removing those fears, you're just going to have a smoother process all the way along. We talked about, before I get into the communication part, well, this does have a lot to do with it, is in your proposal last week, I thought you did a great job of covering this in your proposal, because sometimes you may not have the opportunity to present your deal, and you've got to send it to them, which if you do, hopefully you're using a Loom video where you're taking the time to go through and explain this piece by piece, because they buy from the person. You know, and you need to get that personality, that trust building through. But what you've done in the proposal is really shown them, I call it, this is how we work, okay? And you had something along those lines of, this is what's going to happen the day of your job, okay? We're going to start the job, and this is all those steps that lead up to getting your roof installed and what they can expect. They have no idea. They've never gotten a roof done for the most part. So what's this going to be like? Well, first off, they have no idea how loud and how messy and how chaotic it's going to be. So you need to get that across. But that's something you really do in your proposal. And once again, if you go back to theroofershow.com, you can download this video and you can see what we're talking about, because it is a step-by-step. Removing that fear that, oh, so this is how it works. I get it. Okay. That's the first thing. Well, that's the second thing. And then now we've got the third thing, which is communication. Okay. Absolutely the number one thing that you need to do, because it's the number one screw up. And the way we know that is, and this is part of the sales process, I like to drop this when I have the opportunity. You know, I say, you know, one thing is, you know, our company's built on our reputation, our reviews, what others are saying about us. So what I'd like you to do is go onto Google and just read through our reviews. You can take read through any of them. And yeah, there's some bad ones there. You know, everybody makes some mistakes, let's say. But if you look at those, look at the way that we handled them. Okay. Because when things go wrong, that's what's important. That's the what makes a quality business, is when things do screw up, this is how we're going to take care of them. And many times you can get turn those, you know, hopefully you don't have any bad reviews because you're heading those off. You shouldn't have these surprises because we've got all the steps before that to prevent that. But if we do, we're going to have, you know, we're going to respond to everything. Of course, every review we respond to, but particularly if somebody's got a problem, we're going to show how we're going to take care of that. So that's one thing. But, and I say, and then go back through some other, you know, it doesn't need to necessarily be our competitors, but just kind of page through some Google reviews. And you will see that the 1- and 2-star reviews that pop up, and they pop up a lot, they are always something to do with communication. Okay. Guys didn't show up when they said they were supposed to. You know, they didn't show, they didn't answer their phone, couldn't get hold of them because they didn't use Ruby. Okay. You would have avoided this problem if you had Ruby answering your phones, but that's a common problem. And people look at that and, you know, go, hold it. Well, you know, if I can't get somebody to call during an emergency, what kind of company is that? And, you know, I had one contractor that we were working on his brand and so forth. And one of the key lines of his brand, we listed out, you know, all the great things that they do. But one of them is just simply, we answer our phone and return our emails. Simple, straight as far as that, because your competitors, for the most part, don't. That's how you eliminate 50% of the competition. Anyway, you go through those reviews and you can show them that, you know, all the things that can go wrong on a job, because they don't realize that. They think, oh, you know, hey, roof's a roof, right? But when they see that, you know, they didn't show up, they left this huge mess, there was crap everywhere, there was no communication, they pulled off the job for a week, we didn't know what happened. I mean, on and on, that's very common. So by showing them our reviews, and this is why reviews are so important, is because that, you know, reassures them, it builds the trust, gives them social proof that, hey, you know, here's all these other people that are standing up, raising their hands and saying, hey, these guys are great, I can vouch for them, okay? So that's what is so important. So now, because we're to the point where we're starting the job, we've sold the roof, hopefully we've gained all that trust, we've let them know what's going on. Now we're starting to get into the job. So after all of that, John, you had talked about how you send texts, let them know, communicate. Sorry to cut you off, but I think a few of those hopefully are important.
Yeah, we actually, everything you're saying, we do. We send automations during the sales process, even before the presentation, that we include reviews and links to them so they can actually read our reviews.
Right.
Or it's really, I mean, it's kind of helps the customer see those reviews and understand that, hey, it's not just us. Other people do care, and then they can see all the other reviews that we take care of as well. So, communication is super important. People are nervous. They're wanting to, I mean, I know, I don't know about you, but my wife gets really nervous when she knows there's going to be a home service. If it's going to be the bug guy or the plumber or whoever, she doesn't want to have to stop her day. If they say, I mean, this is the worst customer service in the world. Hey, we're going to be there between 9 and 12. or 12-3. That is one of the most disrespectful things you can do as a home service provider, because you're saying your time doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You need to wait at 3 hours for me. It's absolutely obscene. It's absurd to expect that from your homeowner. I know we're working outside, but if you do inside attic inspections or anything that revolve, you need to talk to the homeowner. You need to set a time and show up at the exact time, if not 10 minutes early. You don't need to show up too early, because then that freaks them out too. They're trying to get out of the shower to get ready to see you, whatever the case may be. You need to do what you say you're going to do. We're going to be there on Thursday at sunrise. Sometimes it's 7:30 in the morning. Sometimes it's 5:30 in the morning. But this time of the year, it's 7 o'clock in the morning is when we show up. And
what I like also what you do along these lines, sorry, is I have a habit of doing that, don't I? But you do a great job of, you send them videos actually of these steps, don't you?
Yeah, what to expect on roof day. So we just did another video, what to expect on roof day. They get it sent at least once or twice, so they have the opportunity. It's a super short video. They know exactly what to expect, and then we tell them what to expect, and then we show them what to expect. So if they have not done what we've asked, then it's on them at that point, because we've overly communicated, hey, this is what we're doing. Kathleen, again, reinforces it the day before. And now we have another automation where it goes out at 4 p.m. the day before the roof, because in 99.9% of the cases, we know our crew that is assigned to that job is going to finish the previous day's job. We know that. We know that the weather is going to cooperate for the next day around 4 p.m. the previous day of the job. So the automation goes out, hey, final confirmation, we'll be there tomorrow around sunrise. That's the paraphrase. But you get the idea. You guarantee that the homeowner receives that text message and email saying, we're going to be there in the morning. We look forward to serving you. And it's one of the things, if you could just do that one thing, you would win. You would increase your chances of getting a 5-star review. The number of roofing contractors that don't say anything, they'll schedule the job 2 weeks prior, say, hey, we're going to be there in 2 Thursdays from now. And then you never communicate. And then you just show up on Thursday. They're not thinking about you. Like, all of a sudden they got a dump trailer and they've got a freaking huge, huge truck pulling down their road with putting the material in their driveway. And they're like, what the heck? I'm trying to get my kids to work. I mean, kids to school and myself to work. Like, that's wild. It's wild. Very typical. You should have been overly communicated. There should be a yard sign. There should be door hangers at the neighbors. Say, hey, pardon our noise. It should be just way better experience than what most people actually do.
Yeah. And that's, you know, our goal as we talk about is we want to have one additional job for every job we do in a neighborhood. And that's neighborhood domination, you know, and we do that through our radius marketing, like you say, whether it's, you know, door hangers, we're sending mailings out. We've got our job signs out, you know, I talk about Joel Patsky with True Works Roofing. I mean, these guys set up, you know, he's got this bright green, you know, colors on his logo and so forth. And, you know, they use a catch-all, you know, with their deal all over. So first off, they've got their name everywhere on this. But what they do is they set up a little awning out there, a little tent. And they've got all this stuff. They've got waters. And I mean, it is really professional. And that's the kind of thing that you want to be doing, because you want to dominate that neighborhood. It's not that hard when you do all the right things to get that one additional job, which reminds me, John, by the way, how's your deal coming with working on that with, what's his name?
Brad Akers is the freaking man, and Elizabeth as well.
Bomb.
Brad is awesome. We're going through this process. I cannot recommend him enough. It's essentially, if you're frustrated with not understanding your numbers and you don't know why you don't have any money at the end of each job, Brad will make that crystal clear for you. And he will not only show you why, but he will show you how to prevent this. And you won't have to necessarily raise your prices. You may have to raise your prices, but he's going to show you essentially how to avoid having an extremely high customer acquisition cost and how to get new business without having to just pay for leads at Google pay-per-click, all the things that we all do. We funnel that those leads in, their prospects and their leads and their customers, and then we have to do it all again. I can't say enough good things about Brad. We're really excited. Our whole team's going through that process right now. It's going to be game changing, because I see why they like ProLine, because ProLine gives the opportunity to create these automations that help increase referrals and increase the chance of getting reviews and building those appointments for each job that you actually sell. So here's in a nutshell. You need to get 3 appointments for every job you sell. It's hard to do. It sounds, oh, that's easy, right? No, we all know that's really, really hard to do. But the way that their system set up is, and we're only a little bit through it, I can see it being wildly effective. And I'm excited for Clay. I'm excited for Cameron, because now they have a system to actually get referrals in a more direct way, a simpler path. They have a bunch of checklists. You would love these checklists, Dave, because there's checklists for everything. Like, it's just, and they're physical too. We're printing all these things. We're checking them off. We're signing these things. And I'm really excited to grow our business this year in a way that we've never really done before. We've never grown a referral base like this ever.
Yep. Well, I think we're going to change the theme song of this podcast to this Robert Palmer song. You probably don't know him, but there's a great line in there. It says, "Hey, no telling where the money went," you know, from his girlfriend, you know, it's like, oh, whatever, but that's so true. So yeah, you're right though. I mean, if you can bring the customer acquisition cost down, and that's how you do it. You get 3 appointments, you're going to get 1 deal out of it, let's say. And that's what we're talking about, is getting 1 additional job in neighborhood, working those referrals. You know, it's, we can get guys to, you know, we've got a great process for getting reviews, you know, in our coaching. And we can finally get that through where guys are really improving on getting Google reviews. But it is more difficult to get those referrals, to ask for the referrals, to have a process for those referrals, because you're right. I mean, that's how you're going to bring your cost, your customer acquisition cost down, get it way down to, where it's affordable, and that's how you do it.
So right now, it's like $1,833 on average. That's what an acquisition for an actual customer is. You can go through those numbers if you want, but there is the average is $1,800. And if you think it's less, you're wrong. It is very high. And this is why many, many times in my business, I've thought, why do I have no money? It's because you don't realize how expensive it is to actually acquire that customer.
Yep. I agree. Okay. Well, let's get into, continue on our process. We've sold the job. Now, how do we get this job on profitably? How do we squeeze a couple extra points out of there? And keep the customer happy, keep from having to go out. You know, how many times, okay, you hear this all the time, you know, it's, oh yeah, I had to run out there because I got a customer problem. I got to drop everything. We got some problem on the job. So blah, blah, blah. I got to run out there and do it. Well, that's bad planning for the most part. You're making lumberyard runs. You know, that's not the way to run a business. I mean, that is so costly. You have no idea what that costs. And there's your profit for the job. It's crazy. So how do we avoid
I'll be a little more empathetic than you, because you haven't run residential jobs recently. I think that there are things you can do to prevent you from going to the lumber yard. However, every roof is very different. If you don't have things like pipe boots or pipe boot collars or caulk or paint, like the basic things you know you need on every single job, if you don't have it in your vehicle and you have to go get a tubo caulk, yeah, that's on you. But we all know that there are things that are so outside of our control that no matter how well you inspected the attic, how well you walked the roof, you cannot know everything. And so that's another reason I would argue that you just need to be, you need to raise your margin, your profit mm-hmm. margin. You need to build those types of things in the job. You obviously want to avoid that, but there's so many times where I've gotten so much better over the past 10 years of not having to do those runs that it's becoming very rare that I do it, but the times that I do it, it is absolutely unavoidable. There is nothing that we could have predicted. No, we couldn't have predicted that the siding was going to do that when we took off the, like, it just, you just can't know everything. So it's a rough business. That's why you need to price it very aggressively with your margin. If you're pricing it in the 20, 25%, 30% margin, you're pricing it too low. That's why you need to price it in the 35, 40 and up profit margins for all your jobs. Raise your profit margin so that you actually make money at the end of the day.
Agreed. Yeah. And I'll give you that. You're right. We did commercial work, and it's a little different because we would be on there for these jobs for a long time. But okay. So here's where the screw up comes from, is in what we call the handoff, handing it off from sales to production, because there's a lot of miscommunication that can happen there. And that's what it is miscommunication. You know, whoops, wrote that. And this is, this is, you know, my experience. Okay. Wait, I did a job. We're all rushed, you know, and this is back in the day where handwriting all this garbage in there, you know, here's a job sheet, go do that, you know, get a call from the neighbor that says, hey, you know, some guys are in here tearing our roof off. You know, who the hell are you and why are you doing this? Well, they were at the wrong address. So they got a new roof. The other guys are, it's just a disaster. So I learned pretty quickly that, you know, made a lot of mistakes when I started off. I didn't know what the hell I was doing, as I talk about. Anyway, it's that handoff. So how do we hand that job off to production? Now, it's especially difficult, I think, you know, when you're working with subcontractors, because we had all employees and we had, 50, 60, you know, roofers going out every day on projects, on various projects, some small, some large. And we got to get these guys organized. They all came into the shop, you know, and believe it or not, I mean, we had this thing down. It was like a ballet, you know. We really did have this down with our systems, because we always work on process and systems. And we did it pretty well. So we got that handoff down through a lot of trial and error. But tell me what you do, John. How do you avoid roofing the wrong house?
We take a lot of pictures. We take a lot of video. I think pictures solve a lot of problems. If you're taking all the right pictures, it is really, really difficult to miss the details of the job. Whether you're climbing on the roof like we did today or flying a drone like we did today, take a lot of pictures. If you take the pictures, you take the videos, and you notate all these things for the production crew, it is really, really difficult. You're also giving value to the homeowner too, because they know exactly what you're going to do on these situations. Not everything has to be technically shown to the homeowner, but the sales process can make or break the production process. As long as you document with images and notes things that they, you know, if there is a prized rose bush, you need to take a picture of it and make a note. You need to review. I know that you did like a pre-job meeting the day before. Most people are going to be rolling their eyes at that if they're doing residential, because there's literally not enough time in the day, because all the jobs are done in one day. So the next best thing is to review these things. Guys, get to the job site before your crew. Get there before your crew. I don't care who you are. I would race. I'd get there at like freaking got to the point where they knew I was racing them. I was getting there before, and I'd get there at like 4:50 in the morning, and it was like dark for another hour and a half. But I just, if you beat them there, you are showing that you care about the production process. You are showing that the details matter. We need to protect this. We need to, my son is waving to Dave right now. You can sit here, buddy. You need to take care of that home like it's your own. And you need to show the crew by being there, not after they're setting up, not after they have already gotten on the roof, which I'm definitely guilty of. But whenever you get there early and you show them all the issues and you go over the job with the crew leader and you try to get as many people understanding you as possible, not just one person, but the whole crew understanding, hey, this is this job. There's one layer of shingles. Please don't put the dumpster here. There's a septic tank over here. Please cover these over here. They really cared about this over here. Like you, they have dogs. They don't have dogs. Whatever the case may be, go over the details with the crew. That generally means getting up stinking early and getting there on time so that you can give that customer a good experience and make sure the crew is equipped with the knowledge they need to have. Review the pictures, whatever you need to do. You've done that first part. They need to understand that second part of the production.
Mm-hmm. This is what happens, you know, your customer will say, hey, you know, you got to be sure to do this and that doesn't get passed on to the crew. For instance, the dog, that's always a good one. Don't let the dog out. Sure enough, something, you know, screws up on that. So communication is everything. And you've got to plan that out and you've got to have a process. And we talk about taking a job from cradle to grave. There's a lot of different ways for salespeople to do it. Sometimes the salespeople just go, sell, here's the deal, I'm done, on to the next one. Some people cradle to grave. They take the job and they're responsible for doing all of this, as John's talking about. Is that what you do? Are your sales guys responsible for the managing the jobs also?
Yes. They are currently responsible. We will eventually have some site superintendents that help. But at the end of the day, there's only so much that you can really do with the cradle to grave guys. You probably do need somebody on site the whole time that has been introduced to the homeowner, that understands the relationship with the crew, that understands the details of the job. That's the best situation, in my opinion. I don't think that they necessarily need to be a production manager, but more somebody who is keeping the site clean and understands the potential leaking areas of that roof, and understands roofing enough to understand how to make sure that the correct material is getting put in the right place, the right flashing, the right underlayments, and then protect. I mean, the most important thing is that the homeowner's key requests are being listened to and those requests are being executed, whatever those requests are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Agreed. Now, so this is how we did it. Okay. And this is how, what you're talking about is the preparation, the communication to the crew before they get out there, before we start work or you're out there with them. The way that we did it, because we kept having all these problems. Now, we did commercial and pretty large projects. But you can take maybe some of these tips. So what we did, we would do a pre-job conference, okay? And this would happen generally. We'd want to do it maybe a week before, at least three or four days, because we've got to prepare. We always come up with things that, you know, perhaps we're going to need. And the way that we did it was there's going to be a salesman was in charge of putting together the job package. And we had all of these various things in there. They were responsible for issuing the purchase order, getting their quotes, so on and so forth. We've got the job package. Now everybody's going to go meet on the job. So this is our pre-job conference. We've got the salesman, we've got the production foreman, and we've got our superintendent. Now, the salesman, they tend to have a more, you know, aggressive approach, let's say, oh, okay, you know, because we're going out there, we're going to agree before we get off that roof, we're going to agree with the amount of time, the amount of man days that we've got to do this job. So everybody understands the score. You've got to do that because, if, you know, I don't understand how these guys can just, you know, on a large project, I know it's different in your case, but just go out there and what are they going to do? You know, they're going to do what they're going to do. Well, yeah, they're going to do what they're going to do if you don't have any plan. So everything comes down to the plan. So we're going to meet out there. Sales guy, yeah, tends to be aggressive on the labor, and maybe production's a little more, you know, pessimistic because they don't want to have to kill themselves. Now, this superintendent, he's the referee, basically. So we're going to get out there, and he just, you know, okay, where's everybody at? We've got our production budget. The foreman would go around. He's got all the measurements and so forth. So he's going to go around and do his plan. He's going to come up with his man days, and then we're going to talk about the difference, and hopefully we are all on the same page. And when it's not, they know that if they can't figure this thing out, they're going to have to come back to my office, and we're going to be sitting down, and I'm going to tell them what's going on, what the deal is, because that means commissions are going to be shaved. Because, you know, I usually stand up for my production people, because those are the guys that are going to do it, you know, and they know how long things should take. So once we've got that agreement, okay, we've got 250 man days to do this job. All right. Then we're looking around. Okay. Number one, what can go wrong? Okay. Because it probably will. And that's what we're always looking for. You know, electrical wires, we've got this, what's going to happen inside the building? We're going to have debris coming in. What areas can we work in? Where's the porta potty going to go? Where can we load? All of these things, we've got a long checklist that we go down because we've learned over the years from our screw ups on what could go wrong, because it probably will. So we list through these things. We've got the materials set up. We know where materials are going to be placed, because a real job killer is when you have to move material. Okay. We're moving rolls. We're moving all these things to get out of the way. We just didn't set it up correctly. So all of these things are important, and this is what happens before the job is done and we're getting ready to do it. Now, by pulling this foreman off, you can say, well,
hold on, let me interject, Dave.
Yeah, please.
Because all the residential guys stopped listening when you talked about that. So let me tell you in the same way, guys, here's a cheat. I would say the translation is, make sure you know where you can put the dump trailer or the roll off and get as close to the house as possible. We all know this, you're roofing contractors. It's a really, really a huge efficiency for the guys that are able to clean up quicker, clean up better. And then the second thing is, make sure that the pallets of material get put in the right place, not too far. Because when they go too far, I go out and help Oscar freaking move those shingles over closer to the ladderator. Or if you're roof loading, at least put the material in the correct spots on the roof. They're evenly distributed throughout the roof. Like, those are the things in the residential space. Make sure that those details really do matter. You make your crew happier. They're more efficient. They get the job done. The huge profit loss you have if you take a 1 day job and turn it into a 1.5 day job, right, is enormous.
A killer.
Make it a 1 day job if it can be a 1 day job, and moving the dumpsters in the right place and the material in the right place is a huge part of that.
Right. Yeah. We would have over, you know, I mean, they got to knock it out and we'd pay them overtime. They would have to call and get approval to charge over, you know, for overtime pay, but that's how we did it. And yeah, you're right. I've lost my crowd again. So
you didn't lose the commercial guys. I understand. We've done TPO. We've done all that stuff. But
the point being is, you've got to plan this out in advance. And the more you can do to avoid screw-ups, that's what we're trying to do, is limit our liability, limit the amount of things that can go wrong, and foresee the things that can go wrong from our experience. And hopefully we don't have to learn these things the hard way like I did. Most of us do, unfortunately. And that's why you have a business coach and somebody like us to help guide you along to avoid some of these pitfalls. Okay, so here we go. We're out there. We're starting the job. John, go ahead. Tell me what how this works in your world.
In the residential world, you got to have great crews with great relationships and very clear expectations. It has not been overnight. We've definitely had people trying to avoid installing starter shingles, avoid installing drip edge, avoid installing flashing, avoid, like, there's so many parts of the roof system that they know how to do it. They just don't want to do it. So mm-hmm. That's why having somebody there all the time is really helpful.
But that's a huge expense because you're talking about having a babysitter on the job. Is sure. there a way around that? Because that's a huge cost that you've got to factor in. And this, and if you've got a working superintendent or there's a lot of names for it, and that person's going to be on the job, that's a job cost. You need to be charging that to the job.
Yep.
Don't you think?
I do agree that with that. It's important. I mean, we have really, really great crews. We've worked together a long time and we've worked through these issues to show them, hey, here's why. I mean, here's a good example. If you have crews who rack their shingles, meaning going up and down up the roof, maybe different regions call it different things, but racking shingles is against all manufacturers' guidelines. And I know for a fact, a crew racked some shingles on a $50,000 roof, not for our job, but for somebody else's job. And GAF rep came out and saw they were racked right after they were installed and made them rip it off and reinstall the whole thing correctly. So that's just one example. It gets real expensive real fast. So obviously you're way negative on that job, but just you got to know how to roof. If you're in the residential space, you got to know the details. You have to follow the guidelines. You have to install the manufacturer's roof system. That all causes a tremendous amount of profit. Every single job has to be very profitable. That is the bottom line. So you have to prepare in all these ways to make sure that you actually are.
Okay. So whether it's our own employees that are doing the work or a subcontractor, I'm a big believer in training. And whether it's, if it's a subcontractor, you got to train that crew to do it the way that you want it done. And that takes time and it takes effort. You've got to have good people and they've got to have a reason why, you know, what's in it for them, why they should do it and so forth. And you have to explain that. But you know, if they're working for other contractors and so forth, I don't care what Joe Blow's doing. This is how we're going to do it. Now, maybe you're going to pay a little more, whatever it is, but they need to understand what it is, the way that we do it. And this is why, we have the reputation that we do. This is why we're able to give you more work at a higher rate, because we do those things and we take the time to explain that. We've always got to be training. We've always got to be recruiting. We've always got to be training and we've always got to be retaining. We want to retain these guys, getting good subs, making sure that they want to work for you first and not the other guy, you know, give them a reason to do that because they want to do work for you. They want to do good work for you. And it's a challenge, no question about it, but it is worthwhile because otherwise those callbacks are killers. Don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, we had one recently where, to avoid legal dispute, we're going to throw down $3,200. Doesn't sound like a lot to some people, but obviously all the profit, this is not a big job. All the profit's gone from that job. This is a job we did 3 years ago. I won't get into too much details, but we documented it very well. We documented the whole process. You have to be so far beyond reproach on every part of your process that there were some things that we could have done better to show this is why we did this and this is where we think your roof is going to leak and your cracked masonry and your very old siding. And we did do these things, but we could have done a better job to avoid this situation. And, you know, at the end of the day, people can sue. They didn't threaten to sue, but people can sue for whatever they want to sue for. And that's going to end up costing us more than $3,200. So this is a very difficult situation that we're in as residential contractors. We are covered in every possible way in our contract. Like, we are in the right in every way. We use the best practices. We told them after the job, we gave a post-job report. Hey, you need to replace this siding here. We're showing you the cracks on the siding. Hey, this masonry here is cracked all up and down. You have to replace this masonry. It's going to leak. And then, you know, you can't do anything. You can't control people, but you do need to at least hedge your bets as much as possible. And so this happens occasionally for us. And I know anyone listening knows exactly what I'm talking about. No matter how good of a job you do, you're going to have bad people out there that are going to ruin your profit margins. So you have to be, again, I'll go back to it again, be super profitable so that you have the money to pay for these things. Like, there are bad people out there. This guy knows. Mm-hmm. He knows that he is in the wrong. We documented it with pictures in company cam. We did everything. I went out there 6 months later, told him, hey, you have to replace this and this. And still, 3 years later, it's not just a bad review. I don't care about the bad review. We can respond to that. I don't want to spend $6,000, $8,000, $10,000 on an attorney to fight this. So be profitable and document it very, very well.
I agree. I look at the world as glass half full, a little more maybe. I think most people are good people. And also,
vehemently disagree.
You should be a better judge of character than work for people.
This is the problem with having sales reps. This is why I've had such a difficulty hiring sales reps, because the sales reps rely on making sales. Mm-hmm. I look at every sale as a liability and understand that I am responsible to keep my promise for that roof. It's why it's a strange thing to have somebody else who represents your company selling things based on their own personal income. It's the world we live in, but this is what happened. This is exactly what happened. And if it was my job, I probably would have seen these things. It was a referral and like, everything should be great. And ended up not, after 3 years, not being great.
Well, things happen. I agree. But I find that generally it is a miscommunication. Okay. And this is what we're talking about here, where we're not going over things clearly. And this really happens when we come into change orders, I think. And this is why it's so important to, you've got to get your change orders. You know, I mean, if you've got rotted decking or whatever it is, you've got to charge for that, but you've got to lay it out up front, you know, and say, hey, you know, there's a good chance that we're going to have this, and we're, you know, I would budget 10% of the job, for instance, or whatever, for additional work that's going to come up. I mean, we're tearing the old roof off. We don't know what's under there. Who knows? So just be prepared for that. Okay, great. When that happens, this is why company cam is so great. You know, when something like that happens, you've got to get on it immediately. And you've got to explain this, and you've got to get approval for it, you know, for the most part. You just go down and do something, you're not going to get paid. And if you don't explain it clearly and why it's an additional cost and document why it's an additional cost and have that up front where they know there's going to be an additional cost, you're screwed. You're not going to get your money, and you're right. I mean, there's no, you know, if they don't want to pay you, they're not, you know, there's nothing you can do. What are you going to do? You're going to sue them? Hey, I've learned that lesson the hard way. And actually, I did have a guy, I got to say, this was early on. I had a guy who did an apartment building, and let's say it's $20,000. He says, you know, and this was just a bad guy like you're talking about. He said to me, he says, hey, you guys did a great job, but I'm only going to pay you 10 grand. So I go, what's up with that? He says, yeah, that's the way I operate. You know, I'm going to pay you 10 grand. So you're right. You'll win if you sue me. You want to go sue me? Go ahead. But you're going to spend more than the 20 grand. So you might as well just take the 10 right now. Sure enough, I go, well, the hell with that, man. I'll see you in court. And it cost me a fortune. I should have taken the 10 and walked away and said, you know, kick myself for not being a better judge of character when I'm selling to this guy. So anyway, there's another lesson. But how do you handle your changeovers? And also, how do you get paid for them? Because so many contractors walk away because they never got the bill out. They're all screwed up. And by the time, if you don't get that straight immediately, you're not getting paid.
We keep it really simple. There's only two ways our prices will ever change: multiple layers of shingles and rotten decking. We include two sheets of rotten decking to every job, and we have it in our contract, and we also verbally tell them this is how much it costs to do these things. So when we do it, if they're not responding to our text messages, we're already documenting it with Company Gam. We're sending them the pictures. Hey, these are the number of, these are the spots. Here's this spot and this spot and this spot. We had to replace all this decking. And here's the picture of the multiple spots on your roof where we're proving that there's two layers of shingles. They already know. I don't care what they're under. They've actually initialed that page where those two possibilities can happen. And they are now legally responsible to pay those bills. We don't have to agree before we do it. We've already told them, hey, this is the way we do it. You've agreed. We've told you verbally in the sales process. And then we tell you verbally on the production day. We just charge them. No, but we've never had problems with that ever, because we always document it. We've never had someone, oh, I didn't want to. I said, if they ever even jokingly, begrudgingly pay it, we say, I know we could have just covered up that rotten decking and then installed the roof over it. And they're like, well, I didn't want you to do that. I know you didn't want us to do that. So we did the right thing, right? Yeah, you did. And we're never trying to gouge people. We're always very upfront. We do not even hit the same margins on those change orders. We do not try to gouge. We come very close to our actual cost on like multiple layers of shingles. We just make sure we cover our dump fee, pay our guys, and make a little bit of profit in case there's something outside of that. Same with the rotten decking. We cover our labor, we cover our material, we make a little bit more just so they know, okay, this is where we stand. And it's not, and no, we've just never had a problem with that. Those who think, we just make it so clear. This is the only two ways our pricing would ever change. But you gotta charge it though. You gotta charge it. You have
to. It just eats away at the job. I agree. And when do you get paid? How do you bill it? How do you get the money?
It's at the end. So we don't, there's literally minutes involved in these situations. This is not, I can wait around for an hour or even 30 minutes. They're literally, hey, Oscar, I need a sheet of plywood right now. Yeah. We're not waiting around for that. So this is, we're just doing it. We're not going to invoice them right that minute. We're just going to invoice it at the end of the job. We have 50% down. We're getting 50% at the end, plus the change order money. It's all happening within 24 hours anyway, Mike.
Yeah. Well, that's important because, if you don't get those change orders and if you don't get them out, you know, a lot of people, Michael Stone always says, you know, hey, you get the change orders due when the work's got done, and you bill that change order and get the money, because otherwise you're not going to get it. And it's pretty much.
So we do this, like we do take the pictures and then, and so if it's a field person or a salesperson, we're in Company Cam and we're tagging, in this case, Kathleen, who's running the production part of this. She's the production manager for this. Hey, Kathleen, there's 7 sheets of decking. We're charging this many per sheet. This is the total change order. And we also tag Tisha as well, because Tisha's billing it. So we want Kathleen and Tisha to both know there's a change order. This is the reason why. So if Kathleen, they call you, this is the reason why. And Tisha, if they call you, this is the reason why. So we're letting the office staff know that in writing, and then we also let the customer know in ProLine. So it's all documented that salesperson or superintendent text messaged images of the actual work that we did that was additional and gave a price that lines up exactly with the contract price, which is we charge this much per sheet or this much per square foot for two layers of shingles.
Okay. So we've done the job. We're wrapping up. Now what?
We're going to keep scoring the next episode, Dave. That's what we're going to do. There's so many things to keep score about. There's so many things. There's reviews. There's referrals. There's the pre-job budget, the post-job budget. There's all kinds of stuff we can talk about for keeping score.
There's the cliffhanger, huh? So what we're going to talk about, you got the job complete. How do we communicate with the customer? How do we ask for the review? How do we ask for our referrals? How do we, you know, final inspection, or afterwards we give them the warranties, or however you do it. You know, we're going to talk about that. We're going to pick that up. I will say one last thing, and this is the perfect 10. Okay. Because I do think in production, this works. I think it helps. You tell me, but in our business, I know with a lot of our contractors that we work with, that has solved a lot of problems, because generally you're having the same problem, same screw up over and over again. Okay. It can be whatever that is. You know, it's going to be a leak. Well, it's always coming from this area, or it's coming from this one crew. You know, what's going on? So what we came up with, again, after screwing up so many times, we came up with a form that's called the Perfect 10. And just kind of a clever name, we came up with that. And the idea is, we took the top 10 things, problems that we've had in the past, because we're tired of doing, having callbacks, going back the same thing, whether it's a mess, whether it's nails, or whether it's broken this or that, whether it's leaving the damn ladder on the job. We do that all the time, you know? So I finally said, hey, why don't we just stencil, you know, on there and say, hey, this is a gift from us, okay? Stop leaving the damn ladder, because by the time you go out there and pick it up, it's going to cost you more than just leaving it. But anyway, so we would have this top 10 list. In our type of work, we did roofed a lot of concrete tilt-ups out here in California. And we've got metal scuppers going through the concrete wall. And what would happen is, if we did not caulk the outside of those gutters, we'd have wind blow back in. And we had a lot of leaks. We had a lot of problems with that. We had a lot of problems with HVAC equipment, with ducting. Even though that's outside of the roof, if it leaks, we're going to get a call. So we added that in as part of the job. But it was always a problem. Equipment leaks, window leaks, all kinds of things like that. So what we did is, we came up with a checklist. And everything would be checked off, inspected. And if it was perfect, you had to have a perfect 10. If it was a perfect 10, the crew got a bonus. And it was a pretty healthy bonus, because those callbacks can be really expensive. And What it did a few things. One is, it trained these guys about quality control. Okay. That this is what, you know, everybody needs to be thinking about these things. So now we got the whole crew involved. We're having them check these things. And all you got to do is, before you come off the job, just check these things, and you got an extra $250 or whatever. It's a no-brainer. But when we did that, we cut our callbacks down by about 80%. So that was a huge moneymaker. The other thing that I liked about this, we could use this in the sales process, is we could say, hey, you know, here's the top 10 things that screw up. I don't care who it is, but in our industry, okay? Now, we learned this the hard way, and this is why we've gotten better and why we get all these great reviews, because these are the things, this is our quality control. And we go through this, each and every one of these items, and we inspect these, okay? What does our competition have in their proposals? Oh, nothing? Okay, well, we don't know what they're doing. So these are the little extra steps that we take. So it was great. And you can use this if you've got subcontractors or whatever. I mean, this is how you can get them to do it. Send somebody out there, you're going to inspect the job. Hey, you know, if you got this perfect 10, we're going to give you a bonus, because it's a lot cheaper than having to go back, have a bad customer, you know, and all of these problems. What do you think about that, John?
Totally agree. I think all those details do matter.
Yep. Yep. So that's just one way to handle it. That's how we did it. And that's how a lot of our clients do it. Or some form of that, but having that inspection, getting the crews involved, having a bonus, you know, yeah, oh, I shouldn't have to pay extra to, you know, have them do it right. Okay, whatever. We just want to solve the problem. So that's it. Anything else before we wrap on our production end, now that we've squeezed every extra dollar out of this job that we can?
I think we covered it all, Dave. We're protecting that profit.
That we are. I like it. There we go. So what are we going to do next week now? What does it mean to keep score?
In next week's episode, we're going to talk about how important it is to keep score, to make sure that you have an accurate pre-job budget, an accurate post-job budget that's reconciled with all the actual expenses associated with that job, and how to help with referrals, with reviews, and every other thing you need to track all the KPIs in your business.
I like it. You better be job costing your jobs. That's the first thing, because we've got our estimate. As John says, we've got our estimate. We've got our actual, and we're looking at the variance. What are the problems that we have? Because we tend to have the same problems. I had a guy, I mean, his material, I couldn't measure the roof. You know, materials are off 5-10%. That's a huge number on some of these jobs that we're doing. And I'm like, what the hell? Well, we wouldn't have known that if we didn't job cost. And so we cost all our jobs because I'm tracking those guys. We didn't pay on gross profit necessarily. We paid on the top line sale. And everybody's different, but this is how we found that it worked the best. And then we had a competition on who had the highest gross profit. So you have to measure those things. Otherwise, you know, that's the attitude. It's going to be what it's going to be. Well, yeah, it is if you don't do anything about it. But in our situation, we'd run into problems and we'd track, okay, are we on schedule? Well, we're 50% done with the job, but we've used 80% of our labor. Uh-oh, we got a problem. Huddle, stop. Okay, what are we going to do? Now we've got an opportunity to do something about it. But if you don't know that, it's too late. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. So this is why job costing is so important. It's not that complicated. I mean, you know, God, the number of people that we work with that don't do job costing, right, John? I mean, come on. It's
pretty rampant. I mean, I one thing that I was pretty adamant on when AJ was developing ProLine's budget feature, the planning tab, which is the pre-job budget. It's really important, not just like look in the rear view mirror and not just rely on your price list and your quoting tool. Our quoting tool is awesome. Our price list is awesome, but you need another way to have a record of what you're budgeting for all the expenses for that job and do it really quick. You know what labor, you know what material, if there's referrals, there's whatever it is, whatever you have. We have 7 different fields that you can choose from, and you need to make sure that you're doing that on every single job. So you're not just at the end of it like, oh, well, we have the invoice and we sold a $20,000 job, but now we didn't make any money. Why we're doing this. We're trying to make money. We're trying to make profit. So this needs to be really, really high in your priority list on how to use tools like this to make sure that you're profitable on every single job.
Agreed. We'll wrap it there. I got to head to the airport. John, it's great to see you as always. And we'll see you tomorrow in the Mastermind group, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I love that group. If you guys are interested in finding out more about our Mastermind groups, getting group of contractors, non-competing contractors together from around the country and talking about, you know, the problems that we're having, because we all have the same problems. We can share solutions. It's awesome. So this is something you really want to check out. So get in touch with me if you're interested, or if you're interested in any coaching one-on-one, we've got a number of different programs that we can help you accomplish all these things and start making some real money and guide you along. We've done this. We kind of been there and done it, and I've made every mistake in the book and 30 years of contracting, but let's take it up next week and we will learn how to keep score. All right. Thanks, John.
Bye, everybody.